Friends, I would love to have you pray with me for a moment, if you would. Almighty God, we are all in need of your refinement. You don't call us because we are perfect. Father, you are perfect, and you call us imperfect, covered and broken by sin, into a living relationship with you, where by your Spirit you refine us and you forgive us and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Father, you give us the strength and the courage often to confront the lies that we have been living under, so that we would cling to and run to you by faith. And so, Father, today as we dive into this particular lie, we ask that you would give us great wisdom, that you would help us to see the ways in which you are calling us to live in the midst of relationship even today. And, Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And it is, it's great to be together. We have been in this sermon series now for a couple of weeks called Headspace, where we are confronting the lies that we tell ourselves. And what we kind of have been discovering is that oftentimes we can live with these kind of false beliefs or just kind of things that run in our head and take up the real estate that we occupy in our headspace. And for someone like me who doesn't have a whole lot of real estate up there to begin with, it's really important that we try to confront these lies. We try to, in some way, dismantle them. And what we're finding is, I think, is as we confront them, we replace them with God's word and with God's truth. We actually open up and free up a lot of headspace to consider the good things that he has for us. The theme verse that we have kind of been centering around is from Philippians. It's chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And so we're trying to create space in our mind to confront the lies that we live under and then allow the goodness of God's word, his creation, his creatures to fill up that headspace, right? And today, the lie that we are going to try and consider is I can change them, right? I can change them. And this is a kind of a touchy, perhaps, topic. It feels like it's a little bit messier, perhaps, than some of the other ones that we have gotten into, because I think many of us actually believe, or you're kind of hinting at, you know, is this really a lie? Can I really change somebody? Because I think many of us get into relationships with people, and over time we change, over time they change, right? And that's not just for a marriage relationship, that's with friendships, that's with work. We become different neighbors, we grow, we evolve, and so we change, certainly, and especially as Christians, we believe that by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, by faith, we receive that new life, and so we have been born again by Spirit into this eternal kingdom, and we have been changed forever. So it's interesting, we're not saying that people cannot change. But if you've ever been around somebody where the energy between the two of you is that they are trying to change you, right? Oftentimes, actually, this can become the primary energy in a congregation, where you'll see a pastor or a priest or a group of church workers, perhaps a leadership team, feel like we have been given this congregation, right? And we have to get them from point A to point B. We have to change them. And the energy that you see from the leadership then is all about how can we get them to change? And that's the whole conversation. That's all the energy. And have you ever noticed just how toxic, right, that truly can be? Right? Oftentimes, when we get into this mindset that it's my responsibility to change you somehow, what ends up happening often is we don't even really end up talking about the issues as much as we end up just sort of, I would say, just kind of harping on each other, or sort of, this is a fun word, haranguing each other, right? We kind of end up, there's a technical term for this. We nag each other, it's a technical term, right? We argue. And it seems like because we know that somehow the relationship needs to change, or there needs to be something that happens there, and we're afraid if we don't employ those kind of tactics, right, that nothing's going to change, right? And so here's the thing that is really tricky about that, is that sometimes that approach works. and this person actually does change based on kind of nagging, based on arguments, based on kind of that energy of trying to change them. They actually change, probably because they love you, you know, and so you've maybe experienced that, but at best, it's a change of behavior, right? And it comes with a nasty side effect, which is often resentment. And in that resentment, it's very challenging for us to actually have a real heart change, which I think is what we are hoping for, right? And even in ourselves, right? Even in ourselves, I think we know that this is a lie, because each of us have things that if we were given enough time and enough kind of safety, we could make a list of things, even about ourselves, that we wish we could change. You know, whether it's an exercise routine, or it's a reading plan, or it's too much aggression or anger in moments, or not enough understanding, something we would change about ourselves. And yet, we still kind of struggle to change. Even those things that we would admit about ourselves. I love the prophet Jeremiah kind of says this in a moment of desperation. Jeremiah chapter 13, can a leopard change its spots? It's this kind of like cosmic question. Can a leopard change its spots? And he says, neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. And there are ways that we can't even change ourselves. How in the world do we expect to be able to change anybody else? That's why it's a lie. I can change them, right? But here's the struggle, as we kind of mentioned, right? Here's the challenge, and the tension point is, right, if we can't change them, then what do we do? Because every relationship that we have, right, needs a little bit of work. And they all need a little bit of change from time to time. And so if we can't change our way into a good relationship, what can we perhaps replace this lie with to offer us some guidance, right, for having a good relationship, or for making those changes in a healthy kind of a way? And that's where we're going to be today, talking about in 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul in chapter 6 is writing us with this kind of relational guidance. There are three pieces, I think, of relational guidance in this chapter that are often overlooked because that first verse is a little bit intimidating, right? So let's get into it, because I think that we're going to see the relationship advice. It is not just for romantic relationships, but I think it's for all of us. So here we go. The lie, I can change them. If that's not true, if I can't change them, then what can I do? I can choose them wisely, right? So the first piece of advice that he gives us here in chapter 6, verse 14, he says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers, right? So Paul opens up with this kind of little ranching metaphor, talking about the crossbar that would go in between two beasts of burden, two oxen, right? They would be linked together. They would walk together. They would work together, right? They would pull together. And the Apostle Paul says, listen, this is the same thing that happens when we get into a relationship with another person. This is what we're signing up for. We're signing up to attach myself, to tie myself to another person, right? And to work with them. We're making the promise that we're going to walk together and that we expect for them to walk together with us. And it could be for a season of time, like in a friendship, or it could be for a lifetime, like in a marriage. But the Apostle Paul is saying this is the primary metaphor to help us kind of understand how we live and move together. And this metaphor actually is all throughout Scripture. We see Jesus use this same metaphor in Matthew chapter 19 when he's talking about a marriage and how two people are yoked together and the two become one flesh. And so I think for many of us, then, what does it mean to sort of choose another person wisely, right? Because if we are looking for a perfect person, a person who does not need to be changed in any way, right? Is that really wisdom when it comes to choosing? I think that you might be looking for a long time if you're looking for that particular person, right? You see, when it comes to the way that God chose us, it's not based on our goodness. It wasn't based on our holiness. It wasn't based on our intelligence. It was based on his promise. And in the narrative of the Scripture, God had made a promise to the people of Abraham to be their God, right? And for them to be his people. And he chose them and made them holy by his presence and by his work. Right? I think often the same can be true for us. Right? Often we get into a relationship and we feel like this person needs to change or this thing needs to happen. And we can begin to feel like we are the victim of this relationship. We forget that we chose this. Perhaps we made a promise. And perhaps that energy, rather than I can change them, is where our focus and our headspace can be. Rather than I can change them, how about we begin by saying I chose them? Right? And so where do we go then from there? I chose them, and I can give them space. I can give them space. You know, it's interesting. Paul continues in 2 Corinthians, and he kind of lists a lot of things that are complete opposites, right? So things that don't go together. He says, what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? What fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? These are big cosmic sort of disagreements that Paul is talking about here. These are not personal little nitpicky conflicts or disagreements. These are disagreements that cause a rip in the spiritual fabric of the universe. And Paul has given us like the biggest disagreements that we could ever imagine. And then he says this: when you encounter that kind of disagreement, right, that kind of problem with fellowship in a relationship, that kind of disunity or disharmony, where it feels like we have nothing in common, right? He says, therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Right? In other words, we can give them space. Right? Now, we all know that when we disagree with somebody, especially somebody that we really care about, right, that's not our natural or reflexive reaction, right? To kind of take a step back and give some space. Usually it's the opposite. Usually we want to take a step forward. Usually we want to restate our argument in a new way. So you didn't understand what I was saying. I'm sorry, I'm doing a bad job of communicating. Let me retell that in a new way in maybe a little bit of a louder voice. And until you see things the right way, which is my way, and maybe we could go from there. Right? There's a lot of wisdom in giving some space, speaking up, absolutely, right? Stating our opinion, making our case when we feel like we need to. This relationship, it's about communication and what's between us, and I want to make sure that you're clear on how I see things. And so I want to state my case clearly and be open to clarification and questions, but then I want to rest my case. You know, there's wisdom in speaking, and there is wisdom in being silent. All right, since you can't change them, right, you can give them space. And it's amazing what happens in that space when we disagree. Right? So, we can't change them, but we can choose them wisely. We can give them space. And here is the final piece of relationship guidance. We can show them grace. You know, there is it might be a little bit of a secret. It might be like a dirty little secret, perhaps, maybe even in Christian communities, that oftentimes when we get into a relationship with another person, it's a lot, mostly about what we can get from them, and not necessarily what we bring and offer to them. And you know, at work, you know, we buddy up to the boss, or we shower them with praise, hoping that we'll get a raise or we'll get a promotion. You know, we look for a marriage partner or a dating partner based on their strengths and what they can bring to us, rather than perhaps what kind of person we are and what would be a good corresponding strength for us, you know. And so what we do then is we end up turning a relationship into kind of a transaction. And when I give and I give and I give and I don't get in return, then I can feel like, wow, there really needs to be a change here. This isn't, we're unequal, right? And the problem with turning your relationship into that type of transaction is that it doesn't match up with the reality of what we see. Relationships that last can only last on grace. Because grace is when we give without expecting to get anything in return. And this is what the Apostle Paul reminds us of at the end here of this chapter. In chapter 6, verse 18, he says, he quotes from the Old Testament prophecies, and he says, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. You know, think about your kids, or think about when your kids were kids. Or infants, like small children, you know, what exactly, when you brought them home from the hospital in that first stage, what exactly did they give to you? You know, we want to keep this civil here, right? What did they give to you? Not a whole lot. Dependency, I think, is probably the big thing that I can think of, the word that comes to my mind. Dependency is what they give you. That's what we got from them, right? We gave so much. We give them love. We give them support, devotion. We give them our affection, food, you know, a roof over their head. And all we ask in return is that we get to choose their spouse. That's it. That's all we ask. I mean, that doesn't seem like a fair, you know. Yeah. You know, did it make us love them any less when they were in that stage? You see, actually, the Bible says that this is how healthy relationships actually work. Right? When God says, I'm going to be a father to them, he's reminding us, do you know what I get from you as your parent? It's dependence, dependency. Often he just gets our mess. He gets our shame, our sin, our bitterness and frustration. He gets our broken dreams, our broken hearts. And yet that doesn't make our Heavenly Father love us any less. It's actually the reason that he made the promise in the first place, so that he would send his son to redeem us by his grace. You see, I wish it were true, don't you, that we could change them. I wish that we could look into another person's life, perhaps, and change finances or change habits or mind shift and kind of tweak things. And the more I get around people, it just sort of feels like, man, if I could just get in there and kind of, you know. Well, all of that energy is focused on changing them. And none of that energy is focused on changing us. And the scriptures tell us in relationship, we all have a lot to change. We all need grace. Right? And we receive that grace by faith. So, we can't change them, but we can choose them wisely. We can give them space. We can show them grace, all in the hopes, right, that ultimately we can shift, I can change them to I can love them. Right? That shift might actually bring peace and a little hope and a little joy to our headspace. Let's pray. Almighty God, help us. Lord, help us to walk in harmony with your will and with each other, to guard our hearts and our minds against the influences of darkness. Father, give us discernment to make wise choices in our relationships. Give us courage to give space when needed, and help us as we strive for holiness in ourselves. Father, cleanse us. Make us clean in our body and our spirit, and fill us to be vessels of honor for your work, as we continually seek to draw nearer to you, our loving Father. Pray all of this in your Son's name. Amen. Amen.